Tune in to the hottest sports talk show.
I've never had it so good, sports radio.
Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
All right, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. I am Princess Cooper. My co-host David Duck Riley is here. Tim Moore is going to be a little bit late. Duck, how are you?
Doing well, Princess. Doing well.
Awesome. Well, we wait on the guys to get in here. You and I can just talk about things that are going on. And Duck, I don't think we'll touch this tonight, so I just want to get your thoughts on it. Ben Simmons was sent from practice. I don't know why Ben Simmons showed up, but Doc Rivers said he just wasn't engaged in practice. He wasn't paying any attention, so they sent him home, and they've since suspended him for one game. This just isn't going to work itself through, Duck. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's just very unfortunate. You know, he wants out, and the Sixers really don't want him there. So they're both playing the role. Regardless, if you're going to come and the coach asks you to participate in practice, that's part of what you get paid for. So you get suspended and get fined for not participating in practice. I know what he's trying to do, and I'm sure you do too, Princess. He's trying to force the hand. But if I'm
– Yep.
another owner on the outside looking in, do you want that around your team?
Mm-hmm.
I know it could be an isolated incident, but you signed the contract.
Yeah. And two things from me, Coach. And first of all, if you can prove yourself to be disengaged with one team, you can come over and get disenchanted and be disengaged with another team. So the track record speaks for itself. And I hope that in my lifetime I get to make enough money where $1.6 million is no big deal. Because that's really what he said, is that, you know, he missed all of the $360,000 per preseason game, and he was okay with that. So he's just giving them back $1.6 million, which, you know, I want to be like him when I grow up, Coach.
Yeah, it must be nice to be able to do that with – so many people out here starving and need this mm-hmm. and need that. But it'd be nice to be able to
do
that.
Yeah. So I hope that Ben Simmons figures it out. And I'm thinking that probably the 76ers are figuring out how to move on without him and see if there's really anybody serious takers out there that they can make it beneficial for themselves and for whoever is interested in them. Let's go ahead and get in some of our guys here. 8617 is the last four. 8617, your mic is open. How are you? 8617. That's the last four of your phone number.
Hey, how you doing? This is Don. Don
I'm
Jones.
Good.
How you guys doing today?
Yeah. Hey, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Awesome. Hold on right there. 1071. 1071. Give us your name.
This is Will Lewis. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good, Mr. Lewis.
Very good.
We're doing good. You know, Coach Jones and then and Will Lewis, I'm going to get your thoughts on. I don't know if you heard about Ben Simmons and him being not engaged in practice and them sending him home and now suspension. Coach Jones, your thoughts about it, and then Will Lewis.
Yeah, I've been following that because, you know, I'm a huge NBA fan, and it's very disappointing to see, Ben Simmons, you know, act like that, because at the end of the day, they're paying you, I think they withhold like $8 million of his salary, you know, because he didn't report, and he's just losing. And it's obvious that the only reason why he's there is because so he can continue to get part of his, I don't know, $100 million contract or whatever. But I think because the reason why I have a problem with Ben Simmons, he's the one that caused all the stuff in the first place. If he's scoring 5 points and scared to shoot the ball at the end of the game, this will be a non-issue. You know, and I mean, he's the one that needs to look in the mirror. That the reason why everybody's upset with him because he's not performing in the big moments of the game. And I think if I was him, I would take accountability and come back and prove them, you know, prove the city of Philadelphia, prove to them that hey, I do have heart, I do have courage, you know, and I'm gonna right this ship and get it right, you know. And you know, because at the end of the day, his legacy is being, you know, it's going to be looked frowned upon because he didn't come through in the most important moments of the game. And when you're a top tier player, you got to be able to come through in those moments, or you're going to, and Philadelphia, those fans are not going to put up with that, and neither is Doc Rivers. So, you know, I'm disappointed in Ben Simmons right now.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too. We'll lose the same thing. Poor performance in the playoffs, in the season last year, poor free throws, but you would think he would come back challenged, and he's come back and said, I just don't want to be here. Give me your thoughts, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of carryover from the way the season ended last year. I mean, a lot of things were said. If you're Mr. Sensitive, then you kind of have a tendency to react like a spoiled child, which I think you get paid a lot of money, guaranteed money in the NBA. There's a lot of NFL players would like a contract like that. But you know, well, there's a lot of everyday people would like a contract like that. But you get guaranteed money and you get paid to play. True, you're not an animal in the zoo, and people don't get to throw stuff at you, you know, as Kevin Durant said, but you do get paid to play. If you play poorly, you know, there's going to be repercussions. If you play like a star and everybody's loving you, you know, then you're sucking it all up. You're taking it all in. So when things don't go well, you don't play well, and you get, you know, slapped upside the head verbally, then you got to be able to take that too. I just think you get paid too much money to act like a spoiled child. And I get, yes, you don't want to be there because a lot of things were said. But you showed up. If you're going to show up, then be a professional and perform.
Yeah.
A lot of people depended on you. If you're not going to perform like you're supposed to, then don't show up.
Yeah, I agree. Duck, any more of this? Are you ready to get started with the show?
Look, I think Dawn and Will kind of summed it up, man. Hey, look, it's too many people out there that could use that money. And instead of him sucking and wanting out and all that kind of stuff, hey man, work on your game. Shoot, I don't know. Like Will and Don, and my thing is, we always talk, hey, prove them wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
that's right.
Show you can deal with adversity and come back. You know, be a man. I mean, instead of a spoiled brat.
Okay, Doc.
All right. Okay. Pull it up. Okay. Hey, Don, we're gonna stay right with you, man. Let's talk about that Texas and Oklahoma State game.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed in Texas. I was hoping that they were, you know, we'll try to take the program, you know, at another level by a big win against the top 20 opponent. But they got away from the running game. I think that's one of the things that Sarkisian, you know, that's if there's a negative about his style, you know, he can get too enamored with the passing game. You got a running back like the Robinson kid, man, that was really, you know, he was having a great game. You know, and they just drifted away from the running game and allowed Oklahoma State to rally late. To beat them, man. I mean, you know, but you know, in a game like that, you got to be able to. I mean, you know, when you have a strong running game, I think the kid rushed the Texas running back Robinson. He rushed for over 135 yards in the game, and I think that was the key factor in the game. That I think Texas just got away from the running game and allowed Oklahoma State to call back into the game.
Okay, Will, are you surprised that Oklahoma State is ranked in the top five in total losses and sacks.
I'm surprised that Oklahoma State has had the success that they've had. I mean, I see what they do offensively, and I see what they do defensively, and they just play basically balls out. They just go hard. But the biggest thing in that game to me that was disappointing was just like Coach Jones said, Texas, you know, they totally changed up. The week before, they had a huge lead, and they got away from the explosive plays. They just pulled everything in and got conservative. This game, Bijan Robinson, who would be the Heisman Trophy front runner if Texas wasn't losing, you know, he's having a heck of a first half, and all of a sudden they get away from what he does, and they allow Oklahoma State to get back in the game. So I think the past 2 weeks have been more about Texas and them getting conservative and complacent, you know, at the wrong time when they have leads. 2 weeks in a row they've had leads that they just couldn't hang on to. So I think it's more about them losing than it is about other teams beating them.
Okay, Princess, Texas and Oklahoma State. Texas can't finish games. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, that really, I co-signed with both Coach Jones and Will Lewis, and that is that I had high expectations coming into the game, and especially for what I saw with Oklahoma, and they let it get away from them again, and you're correct, they're just not finishing games, and if they were 5-1, Robinson would be the leader in the Heisman race for sure. So I'm disappointed to see that's where they were, and that's how they let it happen. And the mullet-wearing head coach of Oklahoma State, he was excited to win that. Seems like he was surprised. Maybe I'm taking a little bit more from it, but I'm disappointed in Texas. I thought they would win that. And Tim is on, Duck.
Okay. All right, Tim, as you can see, we're talking about Texas and Oklahoma State. Can you talk about, you know, last night a lot of came up about leadership and lack of it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's something to that on the team itself. I think Sarkisian is a very good coach. I think he's shown that in a couple of different locations when he was in Atlanta in the NFL, and then as well, not Atlanta, but when he was in the NFL as well as when he was at USC. But so I don't think it's a coaching issue, and it's his first year there. I think that the changes that have taken place at Texas for the past few years with shifting coaches and has really sort of changed the entire culture down there. And they don't have any leadership on the team, captains and people who just sort of hold their teammates accountable. And I think that may have something to do with the lapses that we see, you know, in their play where they get out and then they relax and they haven't learned how to win yet.
Okay, I'm going to stay right with you, Tim. I don't know if this was a shocker for any of you guys. That Iowa and Purdue game
surprised me. I got a guy from my high school who plays safety for Purdue, and so I try to keep track of what they're doing during the season. But I know they've they played well in a couple of games, but they're a middle of the road Big Ten team. In fact, he was the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week because of this game in Iowa this week. But I, after seeing Iowa for the first few weeks of the season, thought they were a pretty well-balanced, pretty consistent, well-coached football team, and they did not show it this week against Purdue. I think Purdue controlled the action pretty much throughout the ballgame.
Okay. Princess, that Purdue and Iowa game
You know, Duff, we kind of discussed this a little bit last night, and I'm going to go opposite of Tim, is that I don't think I was surprised because I think it's hard to get 18 to 22-year-olds, I don't care what sex they are, female or male, up and consistent and ready to play for an entire season. But I saw some of this against Penn State. You know, and again, I say against Penn State, if Penn State's quarterback didn't get hurt, I thought Penn State would have won that game. You know, Iowa takes a big one and they get a big jump in the polls, and then they go and let Purdue, which hasn't done much in the past 10 years in football, in college football, and they win. So it wasn't that much of a surprise to me.
Coach Jones, I was kind of taken back about how many different ways Purdue was kind of using that quarterback. Were you kind of surprised at that rotation of that quarterback against Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't very familiar with Purdue, and so yeah, definitely surprised me. Because most coaches, most teams these days, they don't, you know, they're against the two quarterback system. But they felt like, hey, well, they're playing the number two ranked team in the nation. We got to do something that they're not ready for. Attack them with two different styles of play, and they believe me, it worked, because that David Bell kid, that wide receiver, he was just killing them. I mean, he had like 245 receiving yards. That's just, and a defense that's supposed to be, excellent, one of the top defenses in the country. They just made them look silly, man. But just like Prince was saying, man, they just didn't come ready, man. You lose a game like that at home against a non-ranked team, there's no excuse for that. You know, and the challenge, that's why, there's not too many champions out there, man. You got to be able to be a champion. You got to come out there week in and week out and be consistent, man, and win every game in college football. So, they just didn't have the champion mindset, and they're paying the suffering the consequences.
Will, Iowa, not a come from behind type team.
No, I think that's very true, and I think it was already mentioned today that our thoughts on Iowa was that they were just well coached, very disciplined, not explosive on offense, but they were making the plays on defense. So all those things that were gone for them kind of went the other way around. And I think one key point, and I think Princess kind of touched on that earlier, was what threw us off a little bit about Iowa was the win over Penn State. But if Penn State's quarterback doesn't get hurt, maybe Iowa doesn't get that win over Penn State, and Iowa doesn't go into the Purdue game, thinking they're a lot better than they are. I mean, to me, Iowa, that team was disciplined and coachable, and they were the ultimate overachievers, but they didn't achieve in this game. They got no defensive turnovers like they had been getting all year long. Their quarterback threw three interceptions, got sacked four times. So everything that they had been doing right, all year long, they didn't do right. And, to be a winner, an elite winner, or a winner at the end, those are the things you have to do well. So I think Iowa just kind of showed you who they were.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to stay right with you, Will, because I wanted to talk about, which I thought was a very surprising game, because of the way Florida had been playing, LSU and Florida, and is that also a quarterback controversy now?
It always has been, right? Because they came into the season playing the two quarterbacks. Even remembering back to the Alabama game when the one guy was injured and didn't get a chance to play, but yet everybody was kind of hoping he'd get in the game, and the other kid played probably above expectations. In that game, however, they end up losing to a pretty good Alabama team, but had a chance to win. I think there's like they say, if you go into the season and you think you have two quarterbacks, then you really don't have one at all. And I think that's going to be the case with Florida. So yes, there's going to be a quarterback controversy there.
Okay, Tim, same question. Florida, normally that front seven usually does an excellent job of shutting down the run and stuff, but the running back from LSU gained 287 yards. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they're puzzling too. I don't know what to think of them, because you're right. They have even when they were struggling, the last 3 or 4 years on their offensive end, and trying to get back to the kind of prominence they had when Urban Meyer was there, they played great defense. And I don't quite understand. They played great defense against Alabama, considering that they were up against a pretty prolific offensive team. But they don't even look like the same football team now. And I don't know what is going on down there in Gainesville that's causing that. It really it's really puzzling.
Okay, guys, we're going to come back with Prince's and let her pick up on LSU in Florida. Right now, we're going to take a commercial break.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Okay, we're back in Princess. This is what everybody's been waiting on, LSU in Florida.
I hear you chuckling, you know, and when West Virginia plays next week, and whatever the outcome, we're talking about West Virginia, okay? I just want to go put that in there. I don't know, Doug, what do you say? You know, I said last week that we were headed to into 2022, and it looks like the young men, the athletes, it's not like Florida is void of athletes, you know, and obviously there's a quarterback controversy, and it's been one of the entire year. I agree there with Will Lewis, but our defense didn't show up, and I just think we look like a hot mess, and until we get it solved, everybody's saying let's replace, you know, Dan Mullen and some of the choices were Lane Kiffin. Really? We can't get that bad that we would bring in a shyster like Lane Kiffin. But I do think Todd Grantham is on the hot seat too, which is defensive coordinator. I'm disappointed. My heart hurts. I haven't watched ESPN all week. So I'm going to try to move on.
All right. Coach Jones, any final touch on the LSU in Florida?
Well, I guess the key to the game is the four interceptions of the quarterbacks. I mean, you can't win. There's no way you're going to win throwing four interceptions. I mean, you know, I don't – if they didn't turn the ball over, I mean, they would have, you know, won the game. I think, you know, they still – I mean, dang, the offense still put up 40-something points. You know, so it got to be – you know, it had to be the – you know, it's the turnovers and obviously the defense. You know, was, you know, just played horribly, you know, and, you know, I think just like Prince was saying, they probably need to take a strong look, you know, at getting rid of that defensive coordinator because they hadn't stopped anybody really all year. I mean, every team, it seemed like every weekend you're seeing 30, 40 plus points being scored on them. I think they should keep Dan Mullen because he did have a good year last year. You know, and the program did show signs coming up, but I don't know. They're talking about going after, you know, Chris Peterson, my former coach at Washington, but I don't know, man. I think they need to, you know, change everything they're doing on defense, and then LSU. I mean, it's big news there by Ed Edgeron not going, he's not coming back next year. They're getting rid of him. So it's like, you know, it's a wild, wild, I was about to say wild, wild west in the east, in the southeast, because there's going to be a lot of coaching changes going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like it's a big time program.
All right, come back to you. Go ahead, Princess. Go ahead.
I just want to add they're on a bye week this coming week, and then they head to Jacksonville to play Georgia. So it's not like and I love my team. I'm not going to bet against them, but it's looking pretty bad. You know, Georgia is the team this year, not just in the SEC, but I think in the nation. I'm sorry, Doug.
Yeah, but impressive, and that's fine, and that's something that, you know, during this bye week, you know, that's something that can be discussed because.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes Florida, it just depends on who they play. You know, like they got up for Alabama. I wouldn't be shocked to see them because they're playing at a, usually play at a neutral site, that they don't get up for Georgia. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow.
On any Saturday, and you guys, Will and Don and Tim, y'all could jump in on it because on any Saturday, anybody could be beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Duck. That Georgia-Florida rivalry is one of the hottest in the country. A lot of people outside of that region don't know that. It's called, I think it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and they always play at the Gator Bowl. That's a big rivalry. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either, Duck, if Florida's ready on that day. But just on another note, I'm still trying to wrap my arms around laughing about Prince's calling my boy Lane Kiffin a shyster. I hadn't heard that word in a while.
Thank you. That was good for you, Tim.
I know, Prince, are you buying or selling San Diego State?
Did you just say Prince's?
Yes.
I'm not buying. As I said last night, I'm saving my money. And I need some new shoes. So, but San Diego State at best, and I said this last night, not to disrespect them, they are mid-major at best, playing mid-major talent. So, I mean, if we put them against anyone else, I mean, why would we buy them? They're on the clearance rack.
Damn. Will, behind the cell in San Diego State.
Yeah, I'm the same. I concur. I'm gonna hang on to my money in that case. I think they are good with the company that they're keeping right now, but I think if you kind of go outside of that, then I think they come back down to earth. So I'm gonna just hang on to my money for now.
Okay, Tim.
Yeah, I'm selling also for the same reason that that both Will and Princess gave. I'm selling.
All right, Coach Jones.
Well, the only reason why I'm selling is because I'm selling all teams on the West Coast because the West Coast is just starved this year. I'd take a minute. You know, I'm a Pac-10 guy, you know, and I'm just so disappointed the way the football is playing out West. You know, but to their credit, though, they did beat two packs. I mean, I don't know if it's to their credit. I don't know if it means anything, but they did beat Utah, which is leading the pack, you know, leading their, one of the leader teams in the Pac-12 this year, you know. So,
right.
You know, I think they're in the first place in the north of the Pac-12. So they did beat them, but it don't mean anything because they all, none of, you know, there's not a solid team out there in the West Coast. In my opinion.
And I hate to say that.
All right. We changed it up last night. We, you know, you either tell me what your beef is or things that make you go, hmm. So we're going to start it off with Tim. What's making you go, hmm?
Wow. I guess I'll say the same thing I said last night. I was just really kind of thrown by how quickly they shifted gears from my boy Gruden making comments about DeMar Smith's lips and saying, okay, well, maybe he messed up. Let's give him another chance. Let's show some grace. To as soon as he said something about the LGBTQ community and female leadership and called the commissioner a few names, it was like, get him out the door today, right now, you know. So that's kind of interesting to me.
Okay. All right, Coach Jones, things that make you go, hmm.
Well, I guess the thing that comes to my mind initially is, you know, everybody's talked, everybody before, you know, you know, the last few years they're talking about Lamar Jackson can't do this, can't pass the ball, can't, you know, he can't read defenses, you know, he can't do this or that at the quarterback. From he's not your traditional quarterback, but after watching him play, man, is there a better player in the NFL right now? I mean, this dude passed for 400 yards. So what are they going to say now? You know, what can they say about his skill set, his mental capabilities, and about the type of player he is now? You know, I'm kind of shutting a lot of people up right now. So I guess I can say that kind of makes me go, hmm.
Okay.
Precious, things that make you go, hmm.
I think I'll go exactly with what I, you know, was talking about with you and the others, and that is Don Staley getting a new contract here in Columbia, South Carolina. You know, 7 year, $22.4 million, that averages about $3 million a year. A lot of people who are against her, and I don't understand that, are saying that's too much money for her. I don't know what that means. And she's had, of course, the number one attendance in college basketball for women the past 2 years. And her counterpart, Coach Martin, for the men's program, can't buy a win, and he's making about $3.2 million a year. So that makes me go home, but congratulations, Don Staley, for creating a culture and recruiting like crazy.
Next year, all they do is win.
All they do is win.
I rank number one there. What you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, and I think you just stole my thunder a little bit, because my beef had to do with Josh Allen a little bit. You know, and I think he's played well, and as he goes, Buffalo goes. But mm-hmm. I kept reading those articles about should Josh Allen be a front runner for, like, league MVP. You know, and then, you know, you look at all the other quarterbacks that are playing extremely well and don't get that same mention. So I'm just wondering, you know, is there a little bit of a bias when it comes to actually picking out? And it's early, don't get me wrong, it's still early in the process, but I think there's probably two or three other quarterbacks out there that are playing at an MVP level right now.
Okay, Will, I'm going to stay right with you, because I want to know after this week, what's your top four?
NCAA top four?
NCAA
top four for me is Georgia still number one. Cincinnati has earned the opportunity to stay there. They don't pick their schedule. They play who they play. So I'm going with Cincinnati number two. And this is a little bit of a change up for me, because I'm going to go with Oklahoma with the freshman quarterback. I think if Rattler is still playing, I wouldn't have them there. But I think they're just wide open with the freshman quarterback, so they're a different type of offense. Their defense struggles, so they need to get that worked out. And then number four for me is Alabama, the one-loss team that's back in the mix.
Okay, Precious?
Yeah, you know, I like Will's top four, and I think when I was talking to you all last night, I added Ohio State in there, but I think I'm going to replace them with Oklahoma. So Georgia at one, two is Cincy, three Alabama, Oklahoma at four.
Nice.
Okay. Coach Jones?
Coach Jones maybe has his phone on mute.
Oh, sorry. Yep, I had it on mute. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Alabama. I'm sorry, not Georgia number one. Because that performance last week just solidified their number one ranking, in my opinion. And I go with Cincinnati. You got to go with them at number two, because they winning, and they're looking like a team that could be a team of destiny, man. You know, you never know. But so far, I can't say anything, because they look good on film, but. Also, I got number three. I would have to, you know, I think Ohio State is sleeping in there, man. I don't know. I think they're just a well-oiled machine. I think they ironed out a lot of the weaknesses they had early in the year. I think the quarterback is starting to get better and better. I just think they're going to be there at the end of the year. And then I would have to say Alabama still in my top four.
Okay, Tim.
Yeah, I would obviously Georgia. I think is just established themselves as a cut above everybody else. I'd put Alabama at two, Cincinnati at three, and Oregon at four.
That's the West Coast team.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna stay right with you, Tim. Let's talk about Coach Orgeron. Stepping down at the end of the year. Your feelings on that?
The stuff he's done off the field. I understand that's a little bit, beyond the pale with what he's done. But as a football coach on the playing field with the team and leading the team, here's a guy who won a national championship just 2 years ago. Last year, he coached a team that had a lot of guys that opted out during a COVID season, which was just strange for everybody. He comes back this year. With the requisite talent that LSU always has, which is as good as anybody's in the country. And they have a hurricane that displaces the team for almost 2 weeks. And then they kind of like line him up on the firing squad in the middle of the season. So I'm just sort of thrown by that whole thing, although I do understand the off-the-field stuff as an issue. Sort of reminds me of Auburn getting rid of Terry Bowden a couple of years after they went undefeated. It's just sort of a strange thing. Auburn did the same thing with Chizik after he won a national title. A couple of years later, he's gone.
Okay. Donald Jones, your thoughts on Coach O stepping down?
Coach Ed Orgeron, I think he – he's obviously, you won a national championship. You got to give him props for doing that. I mean, that's something, he went down there and he had one of the best teams ever. I think he did a great job putting together the staff and setting everything up initially at LSU. But I don't think his coaching ability, I don't think is sustainable unless he has a strong staff behind him. Of course, every coach needs a strong staff, but I think you got to have ability. You got to have the ability to have the next man up. If Nick Saban loses, if he loses someone in the staff, man, he just replaces them with another capable individual. And he just failed to do that. I'm just talking about on the field stuff. He's a great recruiter, great motivator, but I think if he doesn't have the right if he doesn't have a strong offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, ever since he lost those guys, he just hadn't been able to have a team that that was competitive against the big time programs in the country. So I get it, but I still think I would have gave him another year because he did win a national championship just 2 years ago. I think that's too soon to get rid of him, but I think maybe they just reading something between the lines and just trying to do it sooner, man, I guess. I don't know. But I think overall, though, I think they should have gave him one more year.
What about you, Princess?
Well, the rumors are that there's other women, but it may be the age of these other women, too. And there has been some stipulations. He can't be in the office alone with students, female students. There have been other things that have been said over the past couple of years. But a 23-year marriage doesn't end abruptly for nothing. And I don't think a relationship with a college coach who just won the national championship 2 years ago ends unless there is some foolishness like that going on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. What we're going to do is take another break and come back with Will thoughts on Coach O.
CampLineman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. But we built from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get-offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLineman.com.
Okay, we're back. And Will, your thoughts on Coach O before I turn it over to Tim.
Okay, yeah, I think Coach O has always kind of been known as a great recruiter more so than a great coach. So I think he's been able to get the type of talent that he needs to win down there. So that just leads you to believe that there's a bigger picture, there's a bigger thing going on here. And certainly Tim spelled it out earlier, with him winning a national championship, the COVID and the opt-out, you know, the displacement. So it was almost like the timing was perfect to actually make the move with him because with all those other things taken into consideration, you would think a guy that was coaching his butt off would get another year. So it's, you know, and I don't know all the rumors, but certainly it makes you suspicious that there's a bigger picture. And then I heard him say, you know, the one thing about them coming to him and him agreeing that, yes, it's time to move on or time to take a break. And it seemed like his bigger concern was making sure he got paid his $17 million that he was owed. So he's going to get a nice little payday on the way out the door. And then, you know, the other thing he said was that he was going to take some time off. So, you know, that doesn't sound like a coach who's battling to stay. That sounds like a coach who's kind of you know, tucking his head down a little bit. I've been busted, and I need to move on. I'm going to take my medicine and move on. So that's the deal.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was kind of odd, too. You know, what I was thinking, too, Duck, was that, you know, the USC job is up, is open. And, you know, he was in the running out there with, you know, the players wanted him when he left USC. But anyway, let's get to some predictions. If we can run through a couple of predictions real quick. USC Notre Dame, big rivalry taking place this week. I think they're playing in South Bend. What do you think, Will, with USC Notre Dame?
I would rarely pick Notre Dame because I've always thought they were kind of like, you know, front runners. The frauds of the top 10, so to speak. But in this particular case, and I'm just going off of what Coach Jones said, I can't take a Pac-12 team. So I'm going to go with Notre Dame.
Okay, Coach Jones, what are your thoughts in USC and Notre Dame this week? Big rivalry game.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth, man. I just don't have any confidence in the Pac-12 team right now, man. I don't see no way USC can go in there and win in South Bend, you know, with a new, you know, firing that coach in the middle of the season. I mean, I hadn't seen any signs of you know, of them playing any better since they fired the coach, really. So I got to go with Notre Dame.
Princess, what are your thoughts, USC Notre Dame?
I'm going with Notre Dame. I think Brian Kelly has shown that he can prepare his players, and I'm going to do the Donald Jones. I'm not going with anybody on the West Coast.
Doug, what are your thoughts about USC and Notre Dame?
Oh, man. Donald Jones has set the tempo. All right. I'm going to go with Notre Dame, too. Look, I can't go against the odds with this. It's just, I'm happy that the guy, Coach Williams, got opportunity at USC, but I just don't see them doing very much this year.
Okay, let me stay with you, Duck. I think the other big game this week is also a West Coast game. The two top teams in the Pac-12 now, in terms of performance on the field and big wins, UCLA plays Oregon. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm going to take Oregon. I'm just, the UCLA just so up and down, you know, not consistent enough to for me to pick him over Oregon.
Okay, Will, what are your thoughts, UCLA and Oregon?
Well, I think in this particular case, I have to pick a Pac-12 team, right?
I'm about to say the same thing.
So, and I think it'll be a battle of pretty good athletes and finesse. But I think this is an absolutely huge game for Oregon to get back up in the mix. So I think I'll go with Oregon, and this puts them – I think they win this game. This puts them at, like, 8-7, 8-9. But, yeah, I think they win the battle of the athletes, of the finesse offenses.
Francisco, what are your thoughts about this Pac-12 matchup?
Guys, isn't this the Chip Kelly Bowl?
Yeah.
So – I'm going with Chip Kelly's old team. I'm going with Oregon. But I can't wait to see this game and see the speed in it. But I'm going to go with Oregon.
Okay, Don Jones, we're back in your backyard, your stomping ground. What are you thinking with UCLA and Oregon?
I don't know, man. This is a toss-up to me, man. But, you know, I mean, I'm disappointed in Oregon's play. They barely beat Cal last week. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback situation is what's going to hurt Oregon, you know. And if Chip Kelly, all UCLA needs to do is make him throw the ball. You know, if they can stop the run, you know, make the quarterback throw the ball, that UCLA will win the game. So I would think, you know, the UCLA staff got to be smart enough to do that and force him to throw the ball, because Anthony Brown is struggling. Unless they make a change, you know, at quarterback, I'm going with UCLA in the upset. Because, you know, I got to think that UCLA, Chip Kelly is going to have the team ready to go against his former team. And I don't know, man. I just think Oregon, they just don't develop. I mean, who knew Justin Heber was that good? I mean, until he left Oregon. I mean, he's playing better in the NFL than he did in college, because I didn't think he was all that in college when I watched him play. You know, there's got to be something. They're not doing a good job of developing these quarterbacks at Oregon. So I got to go with UCLA for the upset.
Wow. Let me stay with you. The Patriots and the Cowboys, a lot of people thought was the best game in the pros this past week. In some people's consideration, a very well-played game. And Mac Jones seems to have sort of convinced a lot of people. What are your thoughts about Mac Jones? Is it the system, or is he a legitimate fixture there in New England for a few years? Donald Jones.
Well, I gotta think he's a legitimate fixture. You know, I mean, he's a rookie, you know, and he's come in and played quite well overall. I mean, you know, I still think they should have kept the reason why they didn't keep Cam because he didn't get that vaccine. I don't care what you say, but I think he would have been better off, you know, letting Cam play for a little while. But he's played. I mean, you know, you got to give the rookie credit. I mean, he is in the perfect system with, you know, according with his skill set, you know, because he's a great decision maker, accurate passer, but I can't say that I can't be too negative with him because he's for a rookie he's played pretty well. Overall, he's probably played better than any rookie quarterback that's out there right now. So I have to say, you know, I have to give him some props so far. Still, you know, still early, but so far I think I like what I see out of the quarterback.
Okay, Will Lewis, what are your thoughts? Mac Jones, is he legit or is it the system?
I think Coach Jones hit it right on the head. He is the right guy for the system that they run up there, and I think that's part of what Belichick and all the background that he did, his relationship with Saban. I mean, that's all the information that he had gathered on this kid was his study habits, his skill set, his approach to the game, and those are the things you see with him in this system. So I think that was a very good draft pick for New England. I think somebody started to talk about it earlier. I still would not have handled Cam the way they handled Cam, but obviously they saw some things and felt pretty comfortable that this kid was ready to go, and threw him in the mix early, and he's been able to overcome a lot of things because people have thrown a lot of pressure at him, and he's handled the pressure as well, and that's one of the things you don't normally see with a young quarterback. So, yeah, I think he's a good fit for their system.
Princess, you convinced with Mac Jones?
I am, but going back to one thing that Will Lewis said, they should have handled Cam better. The Patriots are notorious for releasing, you know, talent and not handling it well and being okay with that and going to get someone else and putting them in that slot. So, but I was impressed with Mac Jones against Tampa Bay and how he played. There was a period where he had 17 straight completions, and I think he's exactly what Belichick is looking for, and that is that kind of pure pocket passer. He's not going to do a whole lot of running. So, yeah, you know, I'm impressed with Mac Jones. I was impressed with him against Dallas, but I was also impressed with, you know, Dak Prescott at the end.
Doug, what are your thoughts about Mac Jones?
I'm strictly thinking it's the system. You know, Belichick, Saban's relationship, like Will said, you know, he got all information on him. McDaniels has taken, you know, and broken down, simplified stuff to make sure that this kid is successful. And he's following the script. He doesn't deviate from the script too much unless he was forced, like the Cowboys forced him to make the turnover, you know, stuff like that. For the Patriots, I think that he's the guy for them because of what they're doing, how they're utilizing him. I heard the other day that Dan Orlovsky said that they wouldn't be surprised that the Patriots doesn't finish in the top five or six in the division for the playoffs, which I don't believe. I think Matt Jones is playing well for the Patriots, but I still don't see him doing enough to win those close games for the Patriots, my opinion.
Okay, Doug, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Coming to you, Coach Jones, your top four teams in the AFC East. I mean,
the top four teams in the AFC. Well, I have to start with Baltimore. Baltimore is, you know, I think they've proven that they're the best team right now, and you know, because they beat everybody. They beat Kansas City, they beat Buffalo. I think they're my top team. I still go with the Bills at the number two. Then I got the Chargers number three, and then after. After that big monster, that running back position, man, running over everybody, I got to go with the Titans, man, at number four, man, because that guy, man, can't nobody stop that dude right now, man. He's that one difference maker, you know. So I would say now, that's my top four.
Okay. Princess, your top four.
I'm going to co-sign Coach Jones. And I like Baltimore for sure, and I love Lamar's performance and where they are at 5-1, if I'm not mistaken. And Buffalo surprised me with Josh Allen against Kansas City. They took a tough loss, I think, yesterday. Love Derrick Henry and the Titans. I'm going to go with his. And I forgot who you said at number three, the Chargers. I like that.
Okay. Will, your top four.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that as well, with Baltimore, Buffalo. Cause I think Buffalo's going to get the last, even though they lost last night. Tennessee and the Chargers, and Kansas City's got some climbing to do to get back in the mix. But those first four are pretty consistent for me.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I've shifted a little bit since last week. I like the Arizona Cardinals. They really changed.
No, we're talking about the AFC.
Oh, just the AFC. I think it's Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
Baltimore, the Chargers, and Kansas City.
Okay, now we move right into the NFC. Who you got? Who's your top four?
I'd say the Chargers. Not the Chargers.
No,
Cardinals.
NFC. Okay.
Yeah, the Cardinals, the Rams, and then looking at after them, I still like the New Orleans Saints and Tampa Bay.
I will. Your top four, NFC.
Arizona, Dallas, the Rams, and Green Bay.
Don Jones.
Yeah, I gotta have the champions in there in that top four. But as far as the top team, the Cardinals right now, they're on an undefeated team, and I got the Rams in there. Rams Tampa Bay, and I got the Packers. Cowboys, they right there, man. But they're right there.
Anyway. Yeah, I hear you, Coach Jones, and I liked you. I really liked you.
yeah.
Arizona, and I finally got a chance to see them play a complete game, Arizona, and I think you got to keep Buccaneers, as far as I'm concerned, in there just because they return all 22 starters, although, of course, several of them are hurt. And then Cowboys, and I'm going to go Green Bay Packers.
Okay. Guys, less than 60 seconds. The best game you've seen this weekend. Stay with you, Princess.
Patriots Cowboys in the overtime. I thought that was a good game.
Tim.
Patriots, Cowboys. Very well played ball game and tremendously competitive.
Don Jones.
Yeah, I can't go against that. I mean, that's the one top of mind. Patriots, Cowboys game that went down to the wire in overtime.
Thank you, Coach.
Will Lewis.
I'm pretty much the same, Patriots, Cowboys. But I do want to give Jacksonville a little bit of homage because they beat Miami, who I always like to see lose.
Coach Lafayette gets the win in London.
Okay. And look, again, I just heard that England just sued the U.S. football, the NFL, for the Jets, Falcons, Dolphins, and Jaguars. So, hey, guys.
Yeah.
From Never Headed So Good Radio, Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, Will Lewis, Donald Jones. Hey, we're out. Good night.
Have a great week, guys.
Yeah, take care.